What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is a show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. You can go through some things and struggle at times, but this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you. Shout out to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused. NeuroGum is a chewing gum as well as mints. Got about 40 milligrams of caffeine per piece, L-theanine and vitamins B6 and 12. Helps with memory and focus. So, you know, I like to chew it whenever I'm making calls to my clients, driving around showing houses, you know, before a workout. Just anytime I feel like I need a little bit of a mental boost and I don't want to like a full energy drink or a full like pre-workout or anything like that, I'll just pop a piece of NeuroGum and it gets me to where I need to be. So get out there and try some NeuroGum.
Shout out to our guys over at Captain Beard Co. So if you are looking for all natural products, they use all natural ingredients when they make their beard oils, butters, and balms. They also have body wash, shampoo, and conditioner. All of their products are amazing, smell great, and are good for your hair. And they also have amazing smelling candles. So if you guys are trying to set the mood, check out Captain Beard Co. Use the promo code Zach and Pat for 10% off your purchases.
And lastly, thank you to our friends over at Hand Wraps Rolling Papers. If you are a cannabis user and you're looking for the highest quality rolling papers, look no further than Hand Wraps. They're local here to St. Louis. My friend Justin Bricker runs the company and makes it all, and they are phenomenal products. We're actually getting him on the podcast here soon. So, you know, get out there and try some Hand Wraps if you ever see them. They're in, I think they're in like 16 local dispensaries here. So check them out. And to introduce our awesome guest today.
Hello.
She is a mother. She is an entrepreneur. The great and powerful Mary Wolf.
Oh, I don't know about all that. Thank you so much.
Glad to have you.
Yeah. Glad to be here, guys. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, Mary, for the people that don't know you out there, if you could just give us, you know, just a little brief story or, you know, brief
rundown
of who you are.
Yeah, of course. So I am, like you said, a mom. I'm a veteran, so we got Veterans Day coming up here. Yes. I was Air Force veteran. I spent just over 9 years in the Air Force and then got out. I worked overseas as a contractor for the State Department in Baghdad for 3 years. That's when I met my significant other, John, who is a 20-year Green Beret, and moved to Tennessee to be with him. I ended up having my first son, Archer, back in 2020 during COVID. So that was a hot mess, yeah. You know, having your first kiddo during that, but made it through. Actually had a second one recently, Nolan, back in he's almost 2 years old now. He'll be two in February.
Wow,
so yeah, it's happening so fast. Oh my gosh. Yeah. But not too long after having Archer, I participated in the 2021 New Year's Challenge with the First Form. And, you know, I ended up winning that. So I won the $50,000. Now it's not $50,000 anymore for a win, but it was back then. So I won the $50,000 2021 Year's Challenge. I ended up losing 30 pounds and it changed my whole life. And I moved here to St. Louis to start working with First Form. And I was an advisor with First Form for almost 3 years.
Okay.
And recently left them this year, mostly because life got really hard, to be totally honest with you guys, with being a mom. And John is not out of the military now. He's 100% retired. You know, he retired from 5th Group Special Forces, but now he's working overseas in Africa. He's working with the SEALs over there. So he does contracting work. So I'm here in St. Louis by myself with these two crazy boys.
Right.
And, you know, life got really hard. So I just decided, you know what, like something needs to change with, you know, being able to prioritize everything in my life that's important to me. I was leaning really into my career and I felt like a lot of things that were, you know, being a mom and a parent and navigating that on your own when it used to take a village, you know,
sure.
I'm doing this on my own with this insane schedule with work. I was doing really, really well. I had multiple winners within First Form during their challenges.
That's
and
awesome.
Yeah, and kept getting better and better, but I just felt like everything else in my life started to become less achievable. And like, I was just really missing out on being able to focus on those different pillars in my life. So, you know, it was really difficult for me, but I made the decision that, you know, I have to pursue something else on my own that's just going to work for me and my schedule. I still want to help people. The vision, the mission that First Form has is incredible. And I truly believe it in it. It's, it's changed my entire life. And I know that you guys know First Form and, the community, the family is just incredible. And to have, like, make the decision to leave that and pursue coaching on my own, like, I knew it was necessary for me, my mental health, my family, where I was at in my life. I'm going through perimenopause. Like, it's just a hot mess express over here, essentially. Yeah. But, I made that choice and really shifted gears to be able to focus on my mental health, parenting, my faith, and then build this business on my own. And it's been a wild ride, but I'm very grateful for all of it.
That's awesome. Well, tell us about your new venture that you're on, your new business that you started.
So Wolfpack Wellness.
Such a good name. Such
that's
a good
awesome.
Name. Thanks. Yeah, I awesome. Appreciate it. Woo! Yeah. Yeah. Well, the Wolfpack, that was my team while I was an advisor at First Form. And, we made a little bit of a name for ourselves. And, obviously, on my last name, Wolf,
sure,
but
of course, yeah.
Wolfpack represented something and I wanted to continue that. But, I wanted to pursue coaching in a different way because with the First Form system as an advisor, I was so fortunate to have, be a part of the system where people just kind of organically come to you and you just kind of luck of the draw at first. Of course, it's putting in the work and getting honored to have this position on the advisor team at First Form, is hard. Sure. It's not an easy position to earn. I was very grateful for that. And you have being a part of that system as the advisors there, we just get automatic downloads, right? So if anybody loves First Form and they said like, oh my gosh, they have this app. It seems like people get good results there. They automatically download. And then you're just kind of open for anybody that downloads the app from any of the stores, right, to automatically have these clients come to you. And I was so fortunate for that, but I realized that the way that I wanted to coach wasn't very in line. Like, it didn't mesh well with kind of that whole system and how things go there, because I had a significant amount of clients, like way more than, I can't complain about it because I was so honored to be a part of these people's lives, but I also felt so stretched so thin.
Sure.
And the way that I want to coach, because the way that I feel like people need the support, is a lot more hands-on, a lot more kind of, from coaching, from my own experience, just going back to what even brought me to be an advisor in the first place and switch on over from like, I'm military, I'm logistics, I do these things, to all of a sudden I'm a coach. I struggled with weight my entire life. And, even like I was just one of those people that was just whatever silver bullet diet, extremes, let me diet and let me just eat nothing. Right. Yeah. I actually suffered with the eating disorder, disordered eating for, oh my gosh, a long time, well over 10 years. So it was bad. And I just, it just follows you your entire life. And I know I'm not alone in that, it's become so much more of a mental hurdle than anything. And I found that, with working with clients, that the people that did the most were the people that felt confident and comfortable enough to communicate with me. And in order to get them to communicate with me, you have to build trust. And how do you build trust? You have these in-depth, detailed conversations. You listen to things out. So, having the incredible opportunity to work for First Form, but all of these clients coming to you, I felt like I was just too stretched thin, no matter what I did with time management, to really pour into people the way that I felt that they needed to. So when I got out and when I left First Form, I was just committed to building a coaching platform that focused primarily on the relationship and building the trust. And so I wanted to make sure that I had, a way to coach people where I would have literally an hour with them each week or every other week, just depending on kind of what level of coaching that they're needing, what kind of support. But to be able to get on Zooms and like talk to my clients and like you're able to uncover so much. Because what I realized when you have technology today and apps and text messages, and we know what text messages like communication. I mean, you guys must know with your wives, like right, we just send like a random, like, sentence that's just like, hey, I'm doing good or whatever. But to really break through the barriers of being able to support people that struggle with weight their entire lives, it takes letting them open up that wouldn't organically typically happen with just kind of little messages back and forth. So I wanted this opportunity to be able to help people that needed that more in depth coaching, you know, for them to be able to build that trust, for them to be able to open up to me. This is really what's going on, right? And it takes a lot. It takes a lot for people to overcome that barrier of like the highlight reel, or even if you're not getting results, because we would do weekly assessments in the app, right? And, you know, it's just like, oh, okay, you can see clearly that they aren't hitting their marks. And most of the time people would just be like, oh, it's okay. You know, like this kind of thing. People like to brush over like what's really going on. And I think that to be a successful coach and be a successful weight loss client or, you know, transformation client, or, you know, to be successful in general, when you do have these hurdles and barriers to be able to stick to the plan, you have to be able to get honest. And it takes a lot of trust to be able to get to that point. So yeah, my whole platform, my whole coaching, you know, the model for it is simply making sure that I don't have this insane amount of clients, that I'm keeping my numbers low to be able to pour into each individual person. You know, and for the people that don't need that kind of thing, it's like First Form app and downloading it and working with those advisors is absolutely fantastic. But if you need a little bit more, if you need someone to really hold your hand, pull you out, walk you through the steps, how you meal plan, how you, you know, because I'll literally get
track your macros.
Yeah, exactly. It's one thing, you know, people are self-taught or really highly motivated, but to get somebody to that point where they're just like so ready to just take this bit of information you give them and run with it and do it on their own, you know, you've got to be in a really good place mentally, motivation, you know, like getting your life in order. But like the second you have those barriers pop up, you know, like a lot of people just need their hand held a little bit extra. So I wanted to create an opportunity for people that needed that. And so far it's been doing really well. I'm excited.
That's awesome. Yeah. Now, do you, I mean, obviously when you're just getting random people thrown at you through the app, are you now more focused on a certain group of people that you want to work with?
I mean, I think that it's organically going that way simply because of my own story, my own relatability. The clients that are coming to me are more women that are going through perimenopause, that are parents. Right. So I think like my demographic of clients are just kind of organically happening. But my like I'm not trying to intentionally to kind of pull from that pile of people. Like for me, it's genuinely anybody. And I've got clients across the entire spectrum of, you know, I've got men in their, you know, 50s, 60s year old. You know, I have women who are in their 20s. I have perimenopausal women. I have parents. I have, you know, just the cool aunt, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I've got a whole a different client list for sure. You know, anybody that needs, I just think it organically happens because when I share my own story about what I'm going through on social media, it creates the questions in my DMs and it generates those conversations and it builds trust with, you know, a lot of women that are going through and struggling with the same things. And I feel like things are shifting in that direction just because I'm experiencing something that is new to me and not a whole lot of information out there. Perimenopause, menopause for women. It's like,
I'm sorry,
like
what is perimenopause?
Yeah, we're two dumb guys.
Okay, so, no. I love
you've
it.
You said it a couple times and I'm like, yeah. All right, I gotta ask.
Okay, no, this is great. All right, guys, listen up because it's going to be important for your wives.
Educate us.
Exactly. So perimenopause is the time where your hormones start to shift, right? So as women, when we go through our you know, cycles from 12, 13 years old all the way until menopause, we should have this kind of consistent cycle of estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. And it goes in these levels really evenly throughout our life. Well, when perimenopause starts, there's a lot of information out there that's wrong. They used to say it's 1 year before menopause is. So basically like when you miss your first period, and then, you know, they say if that happens for a year up until menopause and you completely lose your period, right? That's what they say menopause is. And so for a long time, the information out there is that perimenopause is the year prior to that, right? Once you don't have regular period cycles. However, there's a lot of information coming out that perimenopause actually starts 8 to 10 years before menopause. And, you know, technically perimenopause is when that normal cycle, that rhythmic cycle of your hormones is starts to interrupt and becomes chaos in your body. And so basically, you know, like all of a sudden things aren't triggering, you know, your body isn't making the hormones necessary, you know, at these certain times. And it is literal. It's chaos in the human body, in the female body. And so they're saying that it starts 8 to 10 years prior, wow, yeah, to menopause. So, and it affects everything, your hormones, like metabolic, diseases, metabolic, you know, being able to burn calories and all that, like especially for women, is so much heavily involved with hormones. And so when women start to enter this time frame where the chaos happens, we've got stress levels going on in the body, all of a sudden, you know, they're like, I've eaten this way my whole life. And how come I'm gaining 10 pounds a year now? Like, mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense. Nothing's changed, right? A lot's changing. And that's sure. Your hormones. And unfortunately, people just don't know how to navigate it yet. And so I think that because I've gone through this and because I have evidence. I'm like, I was a coach. I know exactly what to do. I've been consistent. I was doing 75 hard. I was doing everything right. How come my body isn't responding in this way? And for me being able to share that, do the research on my own, you know, and then prove it. Like now I've finally been able to lose my weight since being able to, you know, I held on to my second pregnancy weight from, I had Nolan in February of 2023, right? My gosh, how is it already almost 2025? That's insane. But you know, so I had Nolan in February 2023, and I'm like, I'm doing everything right. Like I know the science behind mm-hmm. calories in versus calories out. I know macros. I'm working out consistently. I'm doing the right things. How come this isn't working? And in the environment that I was at, you know, at first form, you know, but people are looking at me like, kind of like, oh. Is she doing what she's supposed to be doing? I'm like, I swear I know. And it's so frustrating to be told and like have, you know, this whole, and it's proven calories in versus calories out works, right? Like be consistent, these things. So all of a sudden now these aren't working. You're like, no, there's something else going on. What is it? And there's just hasn't been enough research out there up until now. Now there's a ton of people that are really investing in women's health because, you know, it's just such a huge gap in the information out there. And so for me being able to go through and experience it, you know, I just feel like I'm organically kind of, you know, opening up those questions and like, how are you doing this now? Like, what are you doing? You know, and being able to share that has just organically brought, you know, women going through the same thing.
Well, that's awesome. So what are some things that you have been doing to help with this?
Okay. So here's the thing. It's like the most important thing is to understand that like our life now is not very conducive with what we need to overcome this. Right. Because we can't naturally stop the process of perimenopause or anything. Right. Like, so we can't just be like, oh, we're going to take this supplement or we're going to, you know, we're going to do this, whatever. So, you know, but the way that life is these days is like such a go-getter, like such a like highly motivated, like I was very highly, like I was working constantly, right? Like, and the problem is that it just puts so much stress on us and cortisol and you know, which is our stress hormone that prevents weight loss actually. You know, like that, it just runs rampant. And so like my lifestyle had to change. That was first and foremost, like realizing that I was putting way too much stress on my body. And it wasn't just like, you know, I can sit there and be like, oh, it's just because I was working 100 hours a week with working with First Form and I have kids and all this stuff. But there are other things involved, too. It's also doom scrolling. You know, it's also not like prioritizing sleep. It's also, you know, like pushing yourself and fasting and like going and doing fasting workouts and or the styles of workouts that you're doing. I love CrossFit. I'm a CrossFit coach. I love CrossFit, but it's not the best for males that are going through this time because it just puts too much strain and stress on your body over a period of time. You know, so like I had to shift literally everything. I mean, I literally quit my job, right? Like that was too much for me. I realized I was at a boiling point. I had to take care of the things that were really weighing on me because stress in the body, it's mental and it's physical, right? So like, you know, when you like, I had stressors that I wasn't a great mom. I had stressors that I was not, you know, doing a good job of being a partner, you know, to John, you know, like I had all of these things that I knew were weighing on my heart that I had to address. So I think that's like, first and foremost, is like, you have to realize that your lifestyle has to change. If you have just too much on your plate, you've got to let things go. You know, you've got to just prioritize wellness. You got to prioritize sleep, rest. You got to fuel your body appropriately, you know, and you've got to train and like just prevent, let your body heal essentially. You know what I mean? Like if you keep dinging, you know, like you scratch yourself or, you know, you get a scar and you keep picking at the scar, it's not going to heal. You know what I mean? Like you have to make sure you get rid of the things that are in the way. So completely changed over that. I'm working with right now, a functional medicine provider, actually. Okay. So that was a big shift, and something that's been really helpful. And I've gotten a lot of DMs about on social media, shifting from traditional doctors, you know, to more functional medicine, which is hard. It's sacrifice. Sure. You know what I mean? Because my insurance doesn't cover it. Right. So now I'm having to, you know, make payments for doctors and providers when we don't have, like, I honestly believe we should have that automatically included. That should be an option, you know? But, you know, started working with functional medicine doctor. I got full blood work done. So it's one thing to believe you have hormonal issues. And we've all heard this out there, right? Like, I feel like I have insulin resistance. I feel like I have this. I feel like I have that. And my hormones are up. Get the answers. You know what I mean? Out, like, prove it wrong. Prove it right or prove it wrong, right?
We've both done it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, obviously, hormones within a male versus a female aren't as much. But, I mean, we still have the same hormones, just on different levels. And, I mean, that was the thing. When I went in, I was kind of shocked to kind of, I mean, everything came out normal. But going through the whole panel that we went through, I was like, wow, I didn't realize, like, add all this in us.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, there's a lot.
Finding someone that'll actually like break it down.
Right.
Exactly.
Every single line by line.
Exactly. Like, and the way like traditional medicine these days, it's like the way, and I don't know. And my background is I was a medical assistant, in the middle. Like, so I did active duty and then I switched over to reserves and I was very activated while I was in the reserves. But while I was in the reserves, I was trying to go to school and I ended up getting my medical assistant license and so that I could be in the office setting. So I know a little bit about insurance and doctors and kind of how things work, but it was just very adamant that, or like very, you know, like to go to a doctor and say, I have these problems and they do blood work and they just do a regular like CBC count, right? And they're like, no, like everything's fine. And then they don't pursue it more. They're like, well, you know, like here's a SSRI because maybe you're depressed. You know, like here's a weight loss. Here's metformin. Here's, you know, whatever it might be. But, you know, like, so I had to go in and search out and get like a full blood work done where it showed me my testosterone was super low. My estrogen and progesterone are actually in good places. Those are the main like female kind of that. Kind of shift. They're in decent places. I actually have an autoimmune issue that I found out about. Oh, wow. I didn't realize. It is the Epstein-Barr virus that actually comes from having mono as a kid. Wow. So yeah, which is insane. And any kind of autoimmune issues plays a role on your metabolism as well.
Sure.
And, you know, mostly from like thyroid and inflammation and things like that. So I had this, which means that the foods I was eating was making it difficult for me to lose weight. And then, you know, also found out that my T3, so my thyroid production was like nothing. It was very low. But here's the thing. When you get your blood work done from a doctor, they run TSH levels, right? So TSH is something that switch over your T4 and T3. So there's active T3, which is kind of, I say it's like the spark plug of the cell. Okay. So like gets in cells, mitochondria, and it kind of like activates the cell. It's like little spark plug, like turn it on, get the energy going, stuff like that. Right. So if your body doesn't have an adequate amount of T4 and T3, it's not making it. It's the TSH is going to match that. Right. So when they only run TSH and it's in the normal range, it's like, well, yeah, my body's producing enough TSH to support the T3 and the T4 it's making, right? But it's not, I'm not getting an adequate amount of that. So like I was just running on empty. Like it really was. And so, you know, finally with working with this functional medicine provider, I was able to get on thyroid medication that works and testosterone has been, I think it's been working great. A lot more, you know, cognitive focus, a lot more energy for me. I feel muscle retention, you know, I feel strength in the gym. Like I feel like, you know, I'm finally making progress and it feels so good. And it's taken time because not only did I have to get on these things, but it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. Same thing with your diet plan, you know, like people just don't give things enough time. They want to quit on it. And, you know, and you just got to stay, no matter what you choose, stay consistent, you know, keep going and realize that there's going to be other options down the road. But as long as you have the answers and finding resources, like that's the most important thing. There are options out there.
Well, and how long have you been on TRT?
I got on it, I want to say the end of May, early June. A few months now.
Yeah, Pat and I got on it, 7 weeks ago.
Yeah, this tomorrow will be the start of 7.
Shots. How are you guys feeling?
I'm feeling great.
Yeah.
Everything you said there.
Definitely.
Cognitive. Yeah. I mean, I've noticed it more cognitively
for sure.
Than anything. Yeah. And energy. Like I'm starting to, like, I've, you know, it's like weird. Cause I'm like, I don't exactly know if like things in the gym have been, I mean, I've had days where I'm feeling awesome. I'm like, is that the testosterone or am I just having a good day?
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to tell, but, you know, I definitely think it's been positive. It's been all positive so far.
That's
so
wonderful.
So far, so good.
I really feel like HRT is the way to go. Yeah. I mean, and I know women are so afraid of it too. They're like, oh, taking, and listen, it's not all sunshine and rainbows sure. either. Like I've had, and I don't know if you can, I mean, you can see, I know anyone listening can't see it, but like the acne that's come from it isn't easy. I have an active pimple on my forehead.
Oh, which I got just one
like,
right here.
Oh yeah. It's just like, oh, welcome. Eyes. You know, it's okay. We have makeup, yeah. whatever.
pop up in my beard, so
like, yeah, there you got the hidden. I don't have that luxury. Well, actually, my body's trying. I've got some like random hair that's popping up that like all of a sudden, like, okay, now I need to invest in some really nice medical grade little razor things. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's not perfect sunshine and rainbows, and you know, but the benefits are outstanding. And I mean, and ladies too. And I don't want to make things uncomfortable, but like the bedroom change
yes,
has been. Oh, you guys know.
Yeah,
okay. Well, women, ladies, I'm telling you, like, it night and day difference. I feel like a teenage boy sometimes. Like I really do. And it, like John's very grateful. Yeah. It's improved literally everything in our life. It really has. And yeah, I'm like, this is a godsend. Yeah. It is. And I wish people knew that it was an option out there. I wish more people knew and wanted to pursue it, because here's the thing. We all kind of go for these instant, like these pills. And I know with working at First Form, you know, a lot of people would be like, tell me about your diet pills. Tell me about this. And everybody wants those silver bullets. Right. You know, but I feel like this truly is silver bullet.
Oh, yeah.
That is like, and what we need. And I think that the more people that have access to these things, and hopefully with RFK,
yes.
you know, getting in, I hope that things will start to yes. go in a direction where these are going to become more of an affordable opportunity for people that need it.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's, you know, it's definitely not something that is cheap by any means. It's something, you know, because it's like you said, insurance is not going to cover it. And,
yeah.
You know, so it's definitely, I could see that being a hurdle for a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing too, is like going back to what you were saying, the difference between a medical doctor and a functional medicine doctor. Like I started this journey after having conversations with people from like last year in December of last year, January of this year. With this whole testosterone thing. And I went in January and I was at like 90 as a male. A 36 year old male should not be at 190. I should be between.
And you're a tall dude.
Yeah. between,
yeah.
And they're like between 800 and 1,000, maybe up to 1,200. And so he's like, all right, well, you know, I think we should give it a couple months and see what happens. You said you've really gotten back into training, which was about the time I started doing CrossFit, and then got met with a nutritionist and changed my diet. So he's like, all right, well, let's wait a couple months and come back and test again. So went back in April.
Mm-hmm.
Went in April, I went up from 190 to 230. So yeah, I saw some increase on, but to jump 40 points in 4 months, like it's going to take me forever to get to where I need to be. So it's like, and who knows when I'm going to stall out. So mm-hmm. he's like, all right, well, you know, I think we need to get you in with an endocrine doctor to kind of see what the problem is. Maybe it's a thyroid issue. I'm like, didn't you just do all this blood work? And that's the thing. They did all this blood work, and then they just uploaded it into my file, which I had access to. But I'm looking at this and I'm reading it, but now I'm like researching. I'm like, what does this mean? Shit, does that mean I've got cancer? Wait, what?
Oh,
like,
God.
I'm like, that's the thing. They don't explain it. They don't talk to you about it. They don't want to, because I don't even know if they even know what it means. And so finally.
Liability probably too.
Right.
You know?
And so. They're like, oh, get in with an endocrine doctor. Here's a couple numbers. So call one. They're like, oh, the earliest we can get you in is July. I'm like, well, I'm going to be out of town that week. I can't. Like, all right, next appointment's October. I'm like, you know, fuck, I got to go that long before I can get answers on this. So I'm like, all right, whatever. Give me that appointment. Luckily, we had Rocky, who owns New Age Health and Wellness, come in.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
we
were talking with him. And he's like, dude, just come in. We'll get full blood panel, all the work done. I mean, literally, I think we were both in like next week.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was here on a Wednesday. I went in, I think I literally went in like that Tuesday the following week.
Yeah, and I was Wednesday.
And then I got on TRT
And I was on TRT the following Thursday.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, But that was the great thing about it was we got in and we sat down and the nurse practitioner there literally had everything mapped out and went through everything line by line, explained what everything meant, where everything needed to be, where I was at. Like, and it was great. I mean, I go, this is going all the way back to when I got drafted for baseball. Everybody was like, oh, you got a thyroid problem. Cause I had issues like shedding weight. I would get to a point where I'd plateau and I just wouldn't go any further.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what the hell's going on? And I'm again, feeling tired and all that. But they thought it was a thyroid problem.
Mm-hmm.
And they would test it and like, oh, no, your thyroid's fine. I'm like, what is it then? I'm like, oh, I don't know. Baseball, they're not going to test you for testosterone because they're not going to be able to get you on testosterone even if you're low because now you're going to start getting popped
right. For
performance enhancing. So it's like, well, okay. Now it all makes sense and how long it's gone back. But yeah, I mean,
Well, awesome. The numbers, I mean, and this is another thing. Sorry to make things political.
No,
I'm just feeling like America today, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, for those of you that are, you know, we just found out a few hours ago, Trump's going to be our president again.
Yes.
So.
Yes. God bless. Yes. God bless. Yes. Cheers again. I know everybody.
Cheers.
But here's what, yeah. Got it. But, you know, here's what I'm hoping too. It's like, because it's so many environmental factors, right?
Yes.
And so the fact that RFK and Trump like joined teams together, I think feel like it was the biggest blessing on my side. It was just what completely solidified for me. Like, this is for sure my vote, right?
Me too.
But, you know, they're saying what in the last 20 years, the testosterone levels for males were
1% per
equal,
year.
Yeah. And they're equal to like what 60 or 70 year olds, you know, 60 years ago had. You know, 20 year olds have now, you know what I mean? So like, yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, great.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's, you know, like, what is it? Is it the fluoride in the water? That's what they say. That's a lot of it is. Is it, you know, all the,
plastics.
Yeah, all the, hormone disruptors, right. That are in literally, like, I mean, the products that we use, we're talking about even, you know, they talk about, and I didn't understand this too as a mom, and I know that you guys must know too. You're like, what is all this like fire retardant things?
Yeah.
And, you know, you're like, what does it mean? Like, what do you mean organic everything? Like, you know, we grew up, it was just like, okay, what's the cheapest thing at Walmart? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But now we're like all of a sudden having to pay attention to like, what kind of like chemicals are on their car seats and stuff like that. I'm like, I was way like over my head, but now I get it. Now I understand. Like, you know, and all of these things, these hormone disruptors that are in the products that we use, candles, like not this one. I'm sure this is fantastic candle.
This is literally made with all
perfect.
All
natural ingredients. You're talking about like, you know, skincare, you know, we're talking about even literally eating out of plastic containers, like the package, the things that our food is packaged in. The chemicals, the, you know,
bottled
and
water.
I'm really hope, obviously, exactly, literally, we can't even drink water. Like, you know what I mean?
Insane.
You got to be
it's
a millionaire
everywhere.
To get one of those super high filtrated, right. You know, water things. So like, this just makes me get so much hope for our country, for the people, for the health of our country, for men. I'm sorry, but men, like, you guys need your testosterone back, please.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
We need
kidding.
Strong men back in the country. And, you know, and I feel like, starting with literally like how our bodies are the environments to be favorable for our bodies, for us to literally just be able to drink water and eat food without everything going to shit. That would be fantastic.
Be awesome.
Well, we've talked about it on before, but have you know who Callie and Casey Means
yes.
are? Did you see any of the Rogan
Good energy.
Or talk
Oh
to
yeah, I did. And
oh,
I
yeah.
got the book. Absolutely.
Oh,
yeah.
So that those were, we've talked about that a few times, but yeah, it's, mm-hmm. I mean, that'd be awesome if RFK made them advisors.
Yeah,
to
I mean, I could see something like that happening.
I mean, it's looking in that favor.
Yeah,
you know
right.
what I mean? Like, it looks like they're picking everybody based off of like you know popularity and what they've been able to achieve online and the supporters that they have, and it feels so refreshing to have these conversations.
You know what else I think I learned from previous election?
What?
Joe Rogan has more pull than Taylor Swift.
Yes, he does. You hear that, Gina? I went to a Taylor Swift concert this past weekend, and that was an experience. Let me tell you. Yeah, my wife's a diehard fan, and she bought these tickets like a year and a half ago because you know when they go on sale, you got to get in like the queue, and you got to be select like the way that it's insane.
Yeah,
and I mean in the amount. So we bought the tickets. She bought the tickets a year and a half in advance, and what we could have sold them for. I mean, shit. Okay, so here I'll just say numbers. She bought all four tickets for $800, so $200 a piece. Kind of expensive concert ticket, but not that bad, at least in my opinion. So to go see her.
Mm-hmm.
The week of the concert, we were looking it up. Tickets in our in our section in on Ticketmaster were over $3,000
a piece. Oh, that's
insane. So, that's like, insane. But yeah, going there, like the show was insane. 70,000 people like singing every song. Like, I mean, I know the hits. I'm not like, would not say I'm like a big Taylor Swift fan. I mean, I listen to it in the car all the fucking time. But
you had the look though.
Oh yeah. Well,
Murph,
yeah.
We got to pull up a picture.
Oh, please do.
Side by side here.
Yeah, she gave me, yeah. Well, Gina had these like sunglasses and like, you know, she's like, well, I'm not wearing them. Yeah. I mean, I just had jeans and a t-shirt on other than the sunglasses, but, yeah. Oh, and then, her number 13 is like a big deal. And so everybody has these like 13 little tattoos that they put on you. So, yeah.
Were you covered in 13 tattoos?
I had one on my on my neck. I was like, yeah, give me a neck tat.
There's your full sleeve, just 13s.
Yeah, just 13s, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm grateful for sure. Joe Rogan being able to,
make that endorsement.
But here's the thing, like I'm a woman, obviously, right? Like, you know, I don't blame people for thinking that the way that they do. You know what I mean? Like, I really, really don't. And it this whole time, this whole couple of weeks, it's like, it's so blatantly obvious. Just depends on which news network that you watch or get your information from is why people believe what they do. And for it's just like, you know, I see my neighbors, friends, all of these people that were like, oh my gosh, like Trump is the devil. You know, like Trump, he is Satan. He's all of these things. Like, how can you ever vote for him? How
Hitler.
Can you do these things? Right. Yeah. And you see all the people on the right and voting for him be like, how can you not see this? And it's just like, well, it just goes to show what mainstream media does.
Exactly.
And then, yeah, I was definitely surprised. I was surprised, but not surprised when Taylor Swift came out and did her endorsement for Kamala and the whole cat. Picture and all of that, right?
I wasn't surprised.
No, I wasn't surprised at all. But, and you know, I honestly really wasn't. Yes, she's like this massive force with like 9-year-old girls.
Yeah.
I mean, honest, but like that doesn't, it to me, like the informed voter and the mass voters, like I don't feel like they're going to be like, oh, compare Taylor Swift to Joe Rogan's endorsement and be like, which one's a little bit more informed?
Well, there was some concern if you listen to Fox News because they were talking about how much sway she has and power and pull that she has to sway voters. Well, that was one of their big concerns.
And I mean, John, you know, 20-year, no, well, he wasn't a 20-year groomer. He was in the 82nd, did the invasion in Iraq and he was in the 82nd for 6 years. And then he, you know, he got his beret, and he did 14 years with 5th Group Special Forces out of Fort Campbell.
Oh, that's incredible.
And he was part of CRIF. So CRIF is Contingency Response Force, which they're like the black side of things, right? So he's in the know a little bit, right, about a lot of things that not many people know. And so, you know, just having conversations with him and around that. And I remember beforehand, he was saying how scary it would be for someone like Taylor Swift to endorse that because it is actually used as military tactic to reach out to these, you know, government and military tactic to reach out to these massive following celebrities to get these endorsements because it can potentially sway entire countries to go in one direction or the other. And, you know, and of course, so when Taylor did endorse things, but here's the thing, like, I just feel like that with or without Taylor's endorsement, like, I just feel like people are just so drawn in the sand on one side or the other. Like, they're, especially when RFK went over to Trump, it's just like, okay, that's when the independents were just like, okay, like, people are just so attached to their beliefs. I don't feel like there was a massive amount of people that were just open to being swayed one way or the other. Well, like, I really don't think there were.
And I was watching a lot of the coverage last night, and they were talking, they're like, one of the big things that swayed a lot of voters, especially the independents, was Kamala's speech that she gave, I guess, in Pennsylvania prior to, like, right before, where, like, they were saying, well, for a while there, she was winning these independents over because she wasn't tying into the talking dirty on Trump, and she was all about, like, coming together as one and unifying everything. But then all of a sudden she went on this rant calling a Hitler and all these things. I don't know if she called him that, but like saying all these terrible things. And like, basically the independents rated that speech as like a D and maybe and swayed a lot of those people to realize like, all right, especially last minute voters that were undecided, like that was a thing that kind of pushed them the other way.
Right.
So, but I mean,
Oh, there are just, I mean, so many things.
It's some of the things, like the, yeah, I mean, the way the media would just sway, or like just clip little pieces of things that Trump would say, like half a sentence, and then throw that up, and then...
And then it was proof. Yeah. All you had to do was find the original.
I'm going to do the way, I'm gonna do it whether women like it or not. And it's like, yeah, he was talking about, what was he talking about?
It was protecting them from the illegal.
Yeah, from the illegal immigrants. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And they're like, I'm going to protect them whether they like it or not.
And it was and just like repeated.
Whether the women like it or not, that was the only part that they clipped.
Exactly.
And I'm like, it's, dude.
Well, and the one thing too, that a lot of the voters were voting for, especially women, because if you look at the numbers, Kamala won a lot of the male vote. And that was because she was saying that she's going to go in and bring abortion back in and all that. But that's a Supreme Court decision. She can't change that.
That's like, not even, I mean, okay, anyway, like right. It's and not. And here's the thing, too. She literally had, her and Biden had the House. They had all the votes that they needed for 2 years and they didn't do it. And it's just like, it just brings me right back to, what did they say, the Marxism? It's like, you know, if you, and I know that's a stretch. That's a conspiracy there. It's China. But. The, you know, what do they say? They're like, do in order to confuse the masses, do the things you're accusing people of doing. Right. And yes. So like, everything that she said, everything that was going on, it was just like, it just feels like gaslighting. It just feels like, you know, that there's no way that's actually what is happening and what's going on, you know, right. Like, it's just very frustrating.
Yeah. Well, and then one of the other things that kind of made me really, I mean, jump to that, you know, solidify, I mean, was Elon endorsing him as well. Yep. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, dude, let's look.
Tulsi.
Elon, Tulsi, RFK. I mean, that the, you know, have you seen like the Avengers, like, yeah. So, like, where it's like, I love it.
Yeah. And it's just, and it was so like, all the people that were for him are like massive amounts of people that were Democrats beforehand.
Yes, exactly.
Or lifelong.
Elon said like 3 years ago, I was a Democrat.
Exactly.
You know, and now, I mean, he's the smartest man on the planet, probably.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I think of all the things he does. Tesla, the Boring Company, the internet from space, Starlink. I mean, he does, I mean, yeah. How many things does he do that, you know, and it's like he's adding on one more thing, and he said on Rogan that they're going to do that Department of Job Efficiency, where they're going to like create a department to like weed out a lot of the unneeded things in the government, which, because I'm sure there's a ton.
Oh, there's so much.
You know, and it's, I'm just really excited to see. And I think him and Ron Paul are going to like do that together.
I think RFK was just like, let's just get in there and fire everyone.
Yeah. I mean,
eliminate everything.
And I mean, I know that terrifies people.
It terrifies me. I feel for those people that are probably going to lose their jobs, but it's also like, it's for the better of the country. Like, yeah. I mean, think of how much money we pay in taxes.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
and we don't feel any of it in return. We don't. Like, it just feels
it
like
overseas.
We're constantly. Yeah. We don't feel any of it back. Yeah. So, yeah. No, I'm really hopeful. I'm excited that they have he had all of these people. And here's the thing, like, it just feels like all the rhetoric and the propaganda against him, none of it's coming from him, if that makes sense. Right. You know what I mean? Like, the whole, like, women against, you know, like, women's rights. It's like all of it was fed off of, like, Project 2025, right? Which was part of the Heritage Foundation. And he has said, like, from day one, like, I don't have anything to do with Heritage Foundation. And all you have to do is go research and, like, shoot, go to ChatGPT and ask, and be like, how long has Heritage Foundation been around? Many, many years, you know, like how often, like what presidents, you know, and what's the percentage that they actually take? So a Heritage Foundation essentially just creates all these policies so that, like, day one in office, they can go in and, you know, and like when Trump was just like, I'm going to sign all these executive orders on day one. And Biden did the same thing. Each one of them high hand picked from these organizations policies that work in their favor. And he said, since Project 2025 came out, he has adamantly said, I am not doing it the way that I did last time. He took 60% of the Heritage Foundation's policies that they had for him last time. And he recognized his mistake. You have a businessman going into office, all of a sudden becoming a politician. The closest relationship he had with them is just being a donor. Mm-hmm. So he goes in day one in office and he has all of these people. And you think about it, like, putting yourself in those shoes,
right?
Like, put yourself in a suit. All of a sudden you have a massive role that you feel highly unqualified for. Right. I'm sure he did. I'm sure he was just like, what? How did I get here? Like, what is happening? Right. And so all of a sudden he's like, okay. And you want to trust the people around you that say they affiliate with you, that come up to you and praise you and say all these things. But everybody has an agenda.
Right.
And you have these people and you have to pick and choose, and you don't know them. You don't know their, like, all of this history about them. All you can take for face value, who is coming up to you, what their credentials are. And they say, you should vote, you should put this person in place. You should put this person in place. And that's what he did.
He's just
and
listening to him.
He's
yeah.
listening to him. He's doing okay. all the things. And then
trust
of course
you guys have been here before, you know,
the whole situation is turned against him, you know, like, because they're like, all of the cabinet members that you had before, like so many are against you. And he's like, I didn't know those people. You guys told me to put them in. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden they hate me. Okay, great. Right. That has yeah. nothing to do with me. It's your fault. You know what I mean? So like, it's, you know, like, so he's adamantly said, what I did last time was because of this. And it makes sense. Any human being can put themselves in those shoes, if that was you, and go, I get it. I would probably do the same thing. And now he's saying, like, listen, it's going to be a lot different this time. Like, I'm coming in truly anti-government. I'm truly coming in like anti-system. Everything that's been done, let's put together all of these people from all of these different, you know, parties, systems, and beliefs, put them all together to really be able to represent the people. And so, like, he really is trying to do things totally different. And so the whole rhetoric and everything that was put out against him, and what Kamala just repeated over and over again, every answer was about, well, Donald Trump wants to do that. Donald Trump this. Yeah. And it's just like, can you say one of
what
your
do you
policies?
Want to do?
You know what yeah. she said on the Fox News play? She said, go to my website.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go to my website. It's like, well, why can't you say one?
You never, never heard her talk.
Well, that,
know?
But like, I think once she went to the website, it was like part of Biden administration's, it like took you to something.
I think the worst thing she could have done for herself would have, well, maybe the best and worst thing I think she could have done for herself was go on that Rogan interview. Because she was offered multiple times. And the one thing that, you know, they said, you know, because they didn't want to come to him. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to do it in his studio. He's like, you got to fly to me. I'm only willing to do 45 minutes. Okay. And if you know anything about Rogan, his episodes are 2 hours, usually 3 hours long. Mm-hmm. And his, you know, and they wanted in, because if they would have flown, if it would have made him go to her, there would have probably been a bunch of other people in the room. It's like, he just wanted to sit down across the table, like you and I are doing right now,
right.
and look her in the eye and talk to her. And she
just
wasn't
know
willing
her as
yeah.
a human being.
And that's all he was saying the whole time.
And he was
like
I'm not going to attack her. I'm going to, yeah. you know, I'm just going to.
He literally said, all I want to do, like, you want to talk about recipes?
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't care. You don't want to bring up a single thing. Like, just yeah. come here and have a conversation.
I want people
with
to
me.
Get to know who you yeah. are.
Who you are. Because it's like the only thing that we hear from her is these, you know, these scripted talking points that, exactly. you know, she knows exactly what the question's going to be asked. So she's already got it planned up like a, you know, like a public speaking, you know, class in school, you know,
right.
you go in with your plan, you got your speech made and like, I'm gonna say these points and it's going to sound great because I've rehearsed it in the mirror 15 fucking times. And, you know, and
we want to unburden what has right. been burdened.
Yes.
I feel unburdened today.
Yeah, yeah. She did.
I know.
She helped us unburden what was burdened.
Yes.
Exactly. And you know what? Another thing, too, it's just like, because I get the understanding about the Rogan, you know, people like, she's busy. She's also a vice president. She's also this. But the same people would say, when you ask them, okay, yes, she is busy as a vice president. So once again, what was her role as a vice president? People like, didn't you take civics class? You know that they can't do a lot. It's just like, how are you going to use yes. the same argument backwards? Mm-hmm. And, you know what I mean? Like, how can you sit there and say none of what is going on in our country right now is her fault because the vice president doesn't actually do anything and can't actually do things? And then in the same breath, when you ask, why wasn't she on the Rogan project? Well, she's busy. She's yeah. also vice president. It's like,
you know, she's campaigning.
She's
right
done
now.
Like a quarter of the, a quarter of the, you know, rallies that, I mean, I don't know if that's accurate, but it seems that way. It seems like way less yeah. Than Trump was doing. Yes, she has office, but I'm pretty sure Trump's also running multiple businesses. So,
right.
I mean, I feel like, you know, if he can do it, if Elon can do it with his multiple businesses, it's like, where's your priority? And yeah, I think people just need to stop making excuses for her, because it's just like, if the left, if people that really believe that they wanted her in office, like if they were to just calm down for a second and just like look at like, okay, like let's just write down all the points on paper and let's see like what things don't make sense here. Like, why do we keep arguing these things that just simply don't make sense and making all these excuses for her? Like, I feel like people... I just wish people would just kind of like just sit down, calm down, and like
right.
look at the facts.
Well, and then,
for what
and then
are.
Just look at like what how the whole process went for her to get the nomination. What's his
yeah,
name from the
no primary?
Yeah, hold
no,
on, the, yeah, sorry. The guy from the Shark Tank said it best. What was his name? The money guy,
Mark Cuban.
No, Leary.
Oh, Kevin Leary.
Yeah, he was just like, think of it like a football game. So Joe Biden was their starting quarterback, and next thing you know, he gets hurt. So what are you going to do? Typically, you know, have a, you know, a process, process in place and all this that would, you know, designate who's going to come up. Now they just handpick somebody from the stands and throw them in the game. It's essentially what they did with with Kamala. And it's just like, as the Democratic Party, you should be excited because now you just saved yourself from, you know, basically you didn't get to do the primaries to have the process done correctly.
Yeah, to see.
So you avoided any disaster of that happening. So now you can go back, reset in 4 years and start fresh with a new primary and doing the process correctly, because that could have wound up extremely bad had she have gotten elected and not done well as a president, because you literally just bypassed everything that this democracy is about.
Yeah. And I mean, I really wish things were just different. You
I
know what
too.
I mean? Because I wish there was a candidate in there that people actually voted for.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and I wish that for people. I appreciate democracy. I appreciate different versions and mm-hmm. different visions for our country. And yeah, I think that's what makes our country so beautiful is the fact that you have two massively like multiple different people that have different views, and you merge and you find ways to, you know, like, this works for you, this works for me, and we compromise, and that's what makes America great and the democracy that it is. And you know, and it just feels like the left side, the Democrats, like, they got handed an impossible situation, and then you just see the mainstream media, what they're capable of like hyping up this person. Cause when you look at the facts and you look at it written down, it's like, nobody voted for her.
She was like one of the least favorite vice presidents of all
when
time.
And she was one of the least favorite presidential candidates in 2020. Yeah. Sorry. But like,
Tulsi Gabbard just destroyed. Exactly. It was right after
they didn't want her in
it. Just ended it.
Yeah. She was picked and people are like, yay, you know, like, right. You know, female vice president and stuff, like, that's love. That's great for women. That's great. You know? And, you know, she fit a perfect little picture for what they needed, because Biden was really the head guy and like, you know, whatever. But now it's like, okay, now she's supposed to be the president. But, and all of these people are like, oh, she's greater than anything else in the world. And she's the most, you know, like, she's the most
so qualified.
She's overqualified. She's all this stuff. I'm like, I feel like the country needs to be run a lot more like a business than like prosecution.
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So like, I'm, so, you know, yeah, she's really good at her job, apparently. You know, right. whatever, because San Francisco is so amazing. Right.
Right.
But it, it's, you know, like, I understand she's very, very qualified in that, but like, what about anything that has to do with money? She's never had to do, like, that is not her forte. And I guess her dad's an economist. Right. But I believe he is whatever, you know, okay. She has that background, but it's, I mean, very left leaning kind of situation. But you know, like, it's ultimately, you can't sit there. It's an apple and orange situation. You know what I mean? When it comes to qualifications, because in my personal opinion, the country business, especially what we're really hurting on right now,
exactly.
You know, like, especially with the economy, like, we need someone that is very much like mm-hmm. economically sound and like mm-hmm. knows how to make money and knows how to spend it properly, right. And that sort of thing.
The country like a business.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, I just think it's like an apple and orange situation, but like, the whole democracy and the fight's insane. I get heated about the situation, but like, the, like you said, like, picking and choosing mainstream media when they did the whole clip of saying like, this is the last time you'll need to vote, talking to the Christian vote, yeah. When Trump said that. And it's just like, the big picture is that he was asking a group of people that traditionally never vote to vote this one time. That's all he'll need. But when you just cut it out
it looks
seem like he's a dictator,
right.
And like, no, so sorry,
forever.
There's never
no,
going to be.
Said that.
But in reality, the situation, maybe all the illegals coming into the, you know, coming into the country, into the swing states,
yeah,
to
ship them in.
Completely change the votes of swing states all blue. I'm pretty sure that's actually ruining the democracy more than anything else.
Yeah, give them a plane ticket, 10 grand and a cell phone. And,
yeah.
And just go put them up in a hotel.
Oh my gosh. Exactly.
That's insane. That's
well, I mean, they really didn't want him in there because, I mean, look. They tried to kill him twice.
Right.
I mean, if you really want to put our tinfoil hats on, all the bullshit that went along with both of those assassination attempts.
Oh, my gosh.
How the, you know, 20-year-old kid was able to walk around with a rangefinder and a ladder and, you know, and climb up on a roof. And then
police officer seeing him, but getting afraid and walking away.
Yeah. Not even an autopsy, not a toxicology report. When they go and look at the kid's apartment, it's professionally scrubbed. Yeah. There's not even silverware. There's not even a hair left in there. Like, so it's been professionally scrubbed. This kid is in BlackRock commercials. He's in There's a cell phone that pings to and
to
from
the FBI.
To Quantico multiple times. It's like, dude, there
was it Quantico or was it? No, it was an FBI office in DC.
You're right,
wasn't
you're right,
it?
You're
yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I just think FBI. I think Quantico. Yeah.
Hand in it.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Potato, potato, but yeah. Whatever. But yeah, no, it's just, you look into it. I mean, there's so many ways that they just didn't want him in there.
Right.
And I mean,
and it's scary to think what, you know, like everyone's uneasy right now. Like we're all feeling really, really happy, but at the same time, there is that heavy kind of.
There's tension for sure.
That worry that's like, okay, what's they don't happen? Want him here. It's really going to upset things because
people are
like,
going to be pissed.
They
for
thought,
a long time.
They thought, yeah. I mean, that this whole side of people that we're all afraid of, right? They thought 2016 was bad. Well, he was kind of, you know, like he was still kind of like in the system a bit there. And he said it multiple times. Like, I just kind of took the reins and said, you know, tell me what to do. You guys are really the professionals here. And like, I'm going to make the judgment call in the end. But ultimately, tell me what to do, how you do things. And this time around, he's like, nope.
Like,
no,
we're
done. System's going down. And I'm like,
I'm all for it.
So that's why it's like nerve wracking.
Well, right. Because just think about how much money is involved with all of this within government contracts and things like that tied in. You know, what Big Pharma gets from all of this and all the donations and the money that all these Republican or these senators and
they've
got to
be shaking in their boots right now.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah, it's
just,
but that's the thing we need. But I think this year, this term is just going to be a massive reset to our democracy and everything like that.
Right.
So I think it's what is needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I don't know, I'm hoping that everything that they talked about and that they're planning, they can put into play, and they're able to.
Yeah.
And I think they're on pace. I haven't looked it up yet, but I know they've got majority. Is it
Senate for sure?
Yeah. And then I know we were waiting on the House, which they were only 20 votes. Or
yeah,
20
it's
seats,
very
20,
favoring.
20
of,
seats.
Yeah. A lot of people out there are saying that he already won it, but yeah. I mean, they're just waiting for the final.
Well, no, I'm talking about the House and Senate.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
The House, yeah. Yeah, they're already, because I saw multiple posts this morning on Instagram that
really?
Was just like, he has presidency, the Senate, the House, and the popular vote. Like a total clean
total,
sweep.
Yeah. Sweep.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing is, I know the markets, though, are, especially for like what I do, are thinking that he's actually going to wind up spending more money than Kamala Harris would have been spending. So they're kind of looking at that. I know a lot of people out there are saying that the election isn't really affecting rates and changing rates, but those investors and people that are working in the markets are still speculating, and a lot of that still does come into play. So I mean, that's the biggest thing, is hopefully because they're like, well, if we have a split Congress, then they're going to kind of keep him in check on his spending, but now if he has a full red wave, that could actually be one of the worst things that happens for the mortgage side of things. Because you go and spend money.
I feel like there's going to need to be a massive shift.
Right.
I mean, we're just so reliant on goods from China and for, you know, all of these things. Like we, as Americans, what we need to do is we need to step up as, you know, being, you know, the manufacturers that we need, you know, being the people
thing,
we need to be self-sufficient. Exactly.
Open the pipelines.
Exactly.
Yep. Start bringing production back here.
Tariffs are going to be more expensive, American citizens are more than capable of building up factories and being able to provide our own things. So it might be ugly for consumers in the beginning, but I think ultimately it really is going to hash out
absolutely
in our favor.
And
in the long run.
I forgot who I was just talking to the other day about this, but like John Deere tractors are made in Mexico. Like, what the hell? Like, that's, you know,
it's literally John Deere.
That's what?
Yeah.
So it's crazy that what everything that's been shifting, but then also like play hockey with a guy whose family owns a lot of land in Nicaragua. They're one of the largest land owners in Nicaragua and they have massive coffee and plantations down there. And he's like, yeah, depending on this election, you know, Amazon and Walmart were in negotiations of buying our property, but yeah, that's going to be determined by what happens with this election. So now that Trump's in and planning on putting all these tariffs in place for people, companies moving outside of the states, I don't know if your land's going to be worth as much anymore. but that's good. I mean, we need to bring those jobs back.
Mm-hmm.
We need to open that stuff back up. I mean, but the thing is what are we going to, how are they going to be able to bring the production costs and bring those costs down to where, you know, now these things aren't going to be massively expensive because it is expensive to produce here where you go get cheap labor elsewhere. But, you know, it's like, that's not what's best for us.
Right.
But how
when you think about our dollar can go, I feel like us as American citizens, and if we had transparency, right, which is exactly what we all need, is to be able to like have Trump up there, have them up and be like, listen, at this time, we understand like this is, yes, we're putting the tariffs. This is why. But it's also our responsibility. Stop being so freaking lazy. Research companies that are American companies, you know, instead of maybe going to the massive, you know, Walmart and, you know, like grocery stores and Sam's Club and whatever that might be, you know, turn to our farmers, turn to our local people, you know what I mean? As much as possible, if we can pour our money into the companies that already have a solid foundation of being able to grow like that, and those companies do right by the American people and keep their cost low, instead of being like, oh, all of a sudden, oh, we're getting all of these, you know, people coming to us. Maybe we can, you know, because there's going to be people that are going to see the dollar signs and go, oh, this means that we can, you know, spend more money or like, you know, charge more or whatever. But if we can keep costs down as best as possible for American consumers to easily transition a little bit easier to, you know, American made companies and local farmers and things of that nature, I feel like that's really the path that we're going to be able to save ourselves. And then Trump can do what he needs to do to be able to place the tariffs and make the money for our company. And yes, it is going to be a period of time that it's going to be a little shaky, but I think if we all unanimously do it and, you know, and there's an actual transparent path, like they say, like, this is what we need to do. Right. Let us do it. And we all understand this is what it's going to look like. And we stick to it. Like, I feel like it's going to really turn around. It has the opportunity to.
I totally agree. And I mean, think of how much stuff we manufacture overseas. Like looking, like when COVID happened, we had, what was it? All the chip shortage, the medicine, like there was issues with medicine because it was all made over in China. And like,
well, I mean, just look at what was going to happen with the port shutdown. Yeah. And I mean, I'm pretty sure they came to an agreement on that, but that was a massive scare just a month ago.
Right.
The port authority strike and everything having to be rerouted to the West Coast. Luckily we still have, you know, the ports are separate unions on each side, but that was going to shut down the entire East Coast.
And it's still, I think there's just a pause on it, right? Yeah. Like it wasn't like a complete.
No, it's not solved.
Yeah.
But it's they've come to a like you said, a pause, but that's still something that they don't get worked out could really fuck up a lot of things for our economy.
And the time being, but I still feel like, I still feel like we just need to all step up and be like, okay, let's really invest in our people. And if that means, you know, like, you know, doing factories here, that means, you know, all of these people to just invest in America again, you know, instead of investing in vast money overseas, because I feel like that's what a lot of companies have done. Right. And it was
better for their
the profitable
line.
Thing. Yeah. Exactly. And if everybody can just kind of hold off and do the right thing, and like, that's ultimately just going to be what's going to help. And that'll help the situations like that too, right? Because we're having less reliant coming in over there.
Right.
We can grow our own freaking bananas, like, grow them. Shoot. Yeah.
If we could get to that point where we become great exporters as well, I mean, that's going to help. But,
exactly. You
know, so we got to make things here before we can export.
Before we can export.
Yeah. What do we even, I mean, let's think about, what do we even make?
Corn.
Yeah. Which oranges.
Yeah.
Some corn, cars.
The way there were
vehicles.
We still have some vehicles being made here.
Yeah,
Ford. Yeah, Ford.
Yeah,
is
Chevy.
Chevy.
Yeah,
Toyotas. A lot of Toyotas are.
Are they?
I know that American aren't Toyotas.
Toyotas, I think, a Japanese.
Right, they make a lot of them.
They could.
At least that's what I was told once. I don't know. I was told that the Toyota the Tundra was the most American made truck. I was told at one point. I don't know if that's true. That was just what someone told me.
I know
one
parts.
Time.
Like, I know that too. You know what I mean? Like, there's parts that they'll do here. But yeah. And then we got to stop selling all of our country to China.
Yeah.
That's, you know, we've got to stop. What
how
else?
About that? Just that Chinese spy balloon that was flying over. And then, like, that was talked about for a day and then just nothing.
Yeah.
Like, what was.
Well, they like, didn't tell me because that was when Trump was in office, right?
No, it was Biden.
This was just recently.
Yeah. Oh, recently?
Yeah, it was Biden. And everyone's like, why don't you just shoot it down? Yeah, that was just, like, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago.
Was it that? I don't know. I thought it might have even been.
It could have been.
This year?
No.
Very recent.
No way.
Yeah, I mean, the Chinese spy.
Another one? Yeah, I thought it was. You know, I thought, I'm thinking this was, like, a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I don't know.
I might be wrong about that.
I just think it's a whole.
We've
just been, like,
overwhelmed with fucking information constantly. Yeah. It's, like, hard to keep anything straight.
I know people, too, are afraid of the taxes. Like, you know, like, okay, Trump is going to do tax breaks for the rich. And I think what people fail to think, consider is that like our rich people are who employ us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like ultimately, if you put more taxes on elites in the 1%, and they're the people that employ all the people, you know what I mean? Like everyone in the middle class and lower class, it's like, what, how else are they supposed to counteract that? So they obviously need to charge more, and then their employees don't get raises. You know what I mean? So you talk about, you know, the American, the middle class and the lower class, like that was a big thing in the left. It's like, oh, they're just going to give more tax breaks. And that's why Elon's going for him, because he's, you know, he I think he's the number one taxed person in the country, yeah, in the history of the country.
He's the most, he's the richest man in
America. Yeah, but I mean, like, if you look at his numbers, he's paid more in taxes than anybody else ever has in the United States. I want to say that I heard that not too long ago. Check me. Yeah. Murph, I don't know if you can check that out. But, you know, like, but here's the thing. Like, Elon employs a ton of people with X and with SpaceX and all of that, right? Like, and so when you massively hike taxes on the people that employ all of us, it's like, you know, like that, it's still gonna hurt us, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? So I know that people were afraid of that, but I just feel like it's a lot of rhetoric. We're gonna have to see how it plays out, but I mean, I truly just believe that, like, Trump, in my opinion, he wants what's best, honestly, for the people. And it's not about tax breaks. It's not about with him being able to get rid of everything. Like, and ultimately, if you see the path and you have it written out and the transparency is there, it's like, okay, this is the way. And I just think there needs to be better explanation of it. And mm-hmm. I think that's where Trump really went wrong, and where he goes wrong, is that he's got so much going on. He's so smart. He just doesn't, he brushes past things, and he doesn't, like, people need to do a clear picture. Like, show me what mean, talk it through, like, you know, like, explain it, like, how is this going to work out for me? And then if that transparency and a little bit more clear, concise information is brought to the American people, it'll make more sense. Yeah, I hope.
I totally agree. It's just, I mean, if you look at the Trump Rogan interview, it's like he asks him a question and he kind of, like, it's like
he's a storyteller. Yeah.
It's like hard to,
he's just like my grandpa. Yeah.
Ultimate salesperson. You know? Tell a story.
Yeah, he just does this whole thing. But like, it ultimately, and I know that Rogan was trying to be like, let me paints a picture as to why, and like, he's just very like kind of like a visual effects kind of person with his words. And I feel like people are think like that's senile. It's like, no, it ultimately, it always gets there, and it paints a picture of where he was at and why he made the decisions that he did. And, you know, so it is what it is. It's just a different style of talking, but I think he needs to be a little bit more clear and concise and paint the picture. Tell me. And that's where Vance comes in. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah.
Yeah, I really, he's good. I like him.
Rooming him for the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we haven't really talked about motherhood. Let's talk about being a mom.
Oh gosh.
Hard.
Two boys.
We've all got two boys.
Is anybody else like just barely surviving out there with their kids? Because that is me. Yeah. Barely surviving. So John is overseas right now. So I'm solo parenting, and I do for 6 months out of the year.
He goes 6 months.
3 months on, 3 months off. We moved here we were in Tennessee. John was stationed at Fort Campbell. And so when I moved from Baghdad to Fort Campbell, Clarksville, Tennessee, and then I won the challenge and all that. We moved to St. Louis. I moved here for a first form. Mm-hmm. So I have zero family here. I've got family in Texas. I've got family in New Hampshire. I've got family in California and Georgia. Oh, okay. All spread out far away from here. Wow. So it's just me for half the year with these. I've been with a 4-year-old and almost 2-year-old, and boys are absolutely insane, and it is so difficult. I do not recommend. That's something like I think is just so important to hammer in, is like, it really does take a village to have a family. And we just don't have that in their country. It doesn't feel like that, like the village family like system is anywhere near like it was 50 years ago. You know what I mean? And, you know, that's a lot with our culture, you know, like, oh, very career driven and stuff like that. Right. And so that, like, that's the move that we made. And now I'm in this situation where luckily, you know, I'm not working nearly as much as I was, previously. I mean, there's different focuses now. Like, I am working a lot, but it's less time constraint, right? So like working, you know, 9 to 5, yeah, you're there, you know, I was at exactly
this time.
Now I can, you know, navigate systems. Like Nolan, my youngest, just got kicked out of daycare for biting.
Oh no.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's been fun. He just got kicked out of it. And so bring him home. And honestly, it's saving us $1,800 a month for him. Yeah. Crazy. So $1,800 for anyone under two where we were at. Archer was just over $2,000 a month. He was in Kirkwood for a while, but now he's up where we live in Pacific, which is a lot cheaper, but it's insane how much money. Almost, I mean, unless I had big bonuses on my paycheck at First Form, I was breaking even when it comes to daycare. And I mean, I was a very successful coach there. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like it, you know, to break even because you have two kids in daycare is insane, which was one of the factors in why I decided to come home, you know? And so, but at the same time, I was like, okay, well, while I'm getting my business up and running so that I can be able to focus on these things, like we'll keep them in daycare for a period of time. But, you know, I was like, I want it to be my choice that he's home, be ready for it. And, you know, but no, he got kicked out. And so kind of dealing with that situation right now and navigating, you know, trying to run a business with working full time, not full time necessarily, but like working on, I mean, it is full time, any opportunity that I have, I'm working, pouring into my business. But, you know, navigating that with a kiddo at home that's just running around and needing that attention, needing that focus. And I just feel like as women, especially, we get pulled so much because we need to be that mothering figure. And it's so important for our kids to get the attention from us. And unfortunately, the way that like careers go, the way social media goes, distractions, TV screens, all of this stuff, it's so hard to navigate being a parent now. And I think that that is definitely showing in our kids' behavior about like the connections, like that connection being lost, because it is, I just noticed myself when I was working full time, I would be home with my kiddos and it's just like, I have to clean the house. I have all of these responsibilities that John would share with me when he's home. And it's a lot easier when he's home, but with him being gone, I have to clean the house. I have to be the one that takes the dog out. I have to, literally every single responsibility falls on me, all the driving, the groceries, the everything. So feeling myself like, you know, I was a mom that was on my phone while being present with my kid. And I didn't realize the impact it was making on my kiddos, but I do now. I realize it now and I recognize it now. It's really like having a phone and be like working simultaneously while you're with kids. Like we think like we can do it and we don't realize the impact that it's having on our kids and the relationship that we have with our kids, their behavior because of it. And that was another huge reason why I ended up leaving, because I recognized like, this is just too much on me. And I'm not pouring into my kids the way that they needed to. And like, because I was just constantly trying to juggle multiple things at once. And that's just not what our kids need right now. And so I'm so grateful for the opportunity to be working for myself now, because I get to feel I don't have as much pressure. I'm able to keep my workload in a certain range where I'm okay with it taking a little bit longer for my business. Like I don't have a website done right now. You know, I'm just kind of working with like whatever's in my profile on Instagram. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or like my Facebook group. And, you know, so like I don't have all these things that I feel like I need to be super successful in my entrepreneurship with the coaching. And I know that I'm getting there and I'm chipping away at it, but my kids need to come first too. Right. And like, if anything, they're, you know, like we're doing great, just fine with John being overseas and doing what he does. Right. But, you know, it is so important for me to be able to put the phone down. And I just felt like I couldn't do that. And so, you know, just being able to prioritize like one-on-one time with them that has nothing to do with my phone, you know, be able to read books about, there's called Good Inside, a really good book. If anybody's struggling with like your relationship with your kid, like say they're just being absolutely insane and you don't know how to navigate it, Good Inside is a phenomenal book. Now it leans a little bit on the gentle parenting, and with John and I both being like military parents and like being like hard, we're hard asses. Yeah. We are. Mm-hmm. And it's been difficult to not be so like rigid in that kind of parenting. And then we're like, okay, let's try the whole gentle parenting. But you know, you need to find that happy medium where there still needs to be boundaries and punishment, but at the same time being like, knowing how to do it. Good Inside was a fantastic book to be able to read. And it really has, I feel like, tremendously improved my relationship with Archer, especially because he was just wild. Yeah. And recognizing, oh, this makes sense. Like, oh, that makes sense. And also recognizing our own emotional regulation issues from our parents, and like having to navigate that is so, so hard. But yeah, I think like ultimately it boils down to, you know, being able to recognize like, okay, the way the society and the way that culture is going and social media and devices and all that stuff, like being able to navigate that has been really helpful for my family and huge for me and makes me feel so much better. It's me feel like a better mom. And I'm so grateful for that. And you know, like, but it's hard. And I don't like, I know that there are people out there just trying to juggle all the things and they feel so torn, so pulled, like the way that the economy is right now, they need to be constantly working. We have that pressure, but realizing the impact on our kids, like we still need to stop, focus on them and recognize where work and everything is kind of interfering with that. And so, but like being able to have people in your corner that are there to support you as well is so important. And we're recognizing that. In fact, we're moving again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to tell Pat and Zach about our moving plans. But yeah, we're planning on, we just recognize the fact that like with John being gone and the way that things are, like we need to be near family. Like it is so hard on our kids to only have us for a majority. Like we have amazing neighbors, you know, and great friends. And, you know, we get to have that, but it's just not the same of having family and having that support. And so we decided we're going to be moving to Texas. We're looking down there,
cool.
You know, and that's where all of my family is. His mom's going to be moving there.
I'm licensed in the next year. Texas.
Perfect. Oh God. Yes. Perfect. Okay. Well, we are good. We're good to go, but yeah.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We're at in Texas.
So we're looking at Weatherford area. So okay. Outside of Fort Worth.
Nice.
I'm one of my best friends lives there. And then my sister's in Abilene. So she's about an hour and a half, west. And then my dad is over in Atlanta, Texas, which is just south of Texarkana. So he's about 3.5 hours to the east. But, you know, compared to the 9 hours, right. 10 hours yeah. flights from all family, it's going to be a night and day difference. And
that's
we're
awesome.
So excited.
Congratulations.
Thank
very
you.
Exciting.
Thank
awesome.
You. Yeah. So we're going to have to meet on
we'll talk
our new house that we just bought a year and a half ago.
You guys just like, how long ago was it? A year and a half?
Yeah, it was July of
last year.
Yeah, it's a beautiful house.
So house.
Hey, anyone that looking
for a beautiful atrium ranch in Pacific.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. So we're excited.
Give it the 2 years so you don't get hit with cap.
I think we've hit like our cap already. Something John was saying something about a cap, but yeah, we were looking at July with the capital gains, but it also depends on how much we would make on it and stuff.
Sure.
But no huge rush, but I think that, you know, just recognizing these things, it just feels like our country, everything's just gone at the speed of light in the last, you know, 20-30 years, and it's just like we've gotten so far away from traditional family values and the things that are really important, because we're all just trying to chase like these dollar signs and success. And you know, and you know, I love the shift towards like the homestead. I'll never be able to do it. Let's just be honest. Like I'm just not. But recognizing like the peace in that, the peace, and like and prioritizing family and even extended family, not just like your little organic family, but like making sure that you take the time to pause and like, you know, call your family and to see them and to like have that time with them. It wasn't until joining the military that I really recognized the need for that, but it wasn't until having kids that it's just like, no, this is so important.
I couldn't imagine. I couldn't imagine doing what you're doing without family because like I've got everybody's here from my family and like they're fighting over who can watch my kids, you know?
Gosh,
so it's like, I can't,
blessing.
You know,
I don't want to punch you in the face.
No,
it's
I'm
okay.
sorry. I just don't know how we could do it without them. Cause like you said, just the daycare and all the other things, it's so much for people that don't live around family.
And even dealing with your kiddos, that's so hard. Like even, when John's gone, it's like for me to even say, I need a timeout. Like, hey, can you handle the kids? Cause they're screaming bloody murder right now. And I just made like 3 different meals and they're chucking it across. Like sometimes we need to walk out of the house, go take a drive. And I can't even do that right now because John's gone. And so like, it's really hard. And it's just recognizing these things. And that even goes back to like, hey, what do you suggest people do when they're going through like menopause and all this stuff, like life changes, like recognize what the gaps are in your own life. And, you know, you keep trying to tell yourself it's okay that you don't have this support. It's okay that you don't have this and that. And it's just like, no, you need to recognize like, okay, maybe these things aren't exactly what I thought that I needed or I thought that I could power through them. And to just, you know, go back to those values, go back to like simplicity, go back to, you know, taking things off. Your kids don't need to be in 87 different sports and going here and going there. Like, you need to just be able to sit down and have conversations with them without TVs and phones, and, you know, to just like kind of pull back. Like, I love that whole movement that's happening and recognizing it, and, you know, just being able to just go, okay, I recognize it. I made a mistake. Let's change things up. Let's make the big moves. And if it means making sacrifices, it means making sacrifices.
I couldn't even imagine it. I've got that every 2 days with the divorce and the way we see kids, about it not being able to just have that time and get away for 6 months out of the year. It's got to be tough. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Completely understand what close to family there.
It probably led a little bit to the perimenopause too, not going to lie. All that stress. I'm like, oh, a little premature. I wonder if it's because my head is banging against the wall. Metaphorically, literally all day long.
How are those two together? Are they good together?
The boys, they're good, but they're also insane. Like, I just feel like it's either like the cutest thing in the entire world and you just see them like loving on each other, or it's like WWE SmackDown in the living room.
Sit on top of the other one. So I walk out there today.
Get them boxing gloves. Yeah. Exactly. Greatest thing I ever did.
It's awesome. Yeah. Christmas.
Can't punch above the shoulders, can't punch below the waist, but they can go hog wild. From shoulders to waist.
Oh, I love it. Great. Oh, we're doing that. I'm doing that for sure. Awesome. I'm doing that for sure. I love that. Thank you.
Anything else you want to talk about before we let you go?
No, I mean, I think we did a pretty good job at covering everything. Absolutely. It's a good episode. Hopefully it's well received.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Thank so you. We always like to hit them with one last question. Surprise.
Oof. Okay.
We call it the tombstone game. Oof. Here lies Mary. What's it say on your tombstone?
Gosh. Take a second.
I tried.
I tried.
Hopefully it just be like, you know, mom, lover of people, and you know, figuring it out. We figured it out. We're here, and hopefully we left a good legacy. Hopefully my kids still visit me. Yeah. You know, visit my little
tombstone.
Well, tombstone here, you know. But hopefully people are just like, she was cool. She was good. She was a good person. And hopefully my kids love me. That's the biggest thing. I don't know. Nothing crazy. Nothing. Perfect. I'm not trying to make a massive mark. I'm not trying to be, you know, I just want to be a good friend, want to be a good support system, and just live a simple, happy life. Can we just do that?
That works. Absolutely. Cool. That works. Cool. Awesome. Well, we appreciate you coming on.
It's great.
Thank you for having me. Absolutely. Thank you, guys. Always I'm welcome. Honored. Yeah. I appreciate it.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for tuning into the show. If you could, please click that subscribe button if you haven't already. That helps us out a ton. Hit that like button, comment what you guys thought below, and we will see you next time.